Welcome everyone. I'm very privileged to preach to you. And today's sermon will be titled, Serve Wherever You Are. As you might know, we are currently serving with Wycliffe Bible Translator, and we are surrounded by people who that go to the mission field or about to go. We visit churches to present the work of Wycliffe, but our main desire is to encourage each listener to be a missionary right there where he or she is. And there is so much work to be done, not just in Africa or Asia. Everywhere you look, there are lost people, desperate people, people struggling and hurting. Well, before I start, I want to recognize the seriousness of preaching. I'm going to talk about God, the Almighty God. The one who created the diverse, beautiful, and in so many ways perfect universe. I need the Holy Spirit to guide my mouth, so I only say the things He wants me to say. And you need ears to hear whatever He has prepared for you. We are all dependent on God. So let us pray so that we have an open heart for the truth of the Bible. Jesus Christ, thank you that you are here present. Thank you that we have the technique to be connected with this video. Please touch our heart through your word, that our heart is opened for you, that we seek you, that my mouth is guided by your Holy Spirit, that I say what you want me to say, and that everybody who listens has ears to hear what you want them to hear. Jesus Christ, thank you that we have the opportunity to meet, but that everything that what wants to distract us shall be removed, shall be gone, and make our hearts wide open for you. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Thank you for this meeting. Thank you for that we can meet here. Amen. Maybe you have listened two stories of missionaries or other inspiring Christians and thought, oh, these people, they're experienced so much with God. They are out in the world and can do so much for God's kingdom. But what about us? Are we stay at home? Are we useless? Are we living a life just for ourselves? There is indeed a danger to get so caught up with life that we are too distracted, too consumed to be efficient, to be efficiently used by God. I would like to introduce a few points that we, the stay-at-home Christians, are called to do. Or maybe it's maybe better to call us ministers of internal affairs. In politics or in kingdom, there are also internal and foreigner service workers. Both are required to maintain a country. So it's not just that we stay at home, we are doing nothing. We are very important too. Not just everybody has to go to other countries. One way to serve God in the Western world is serve God with what He has entrusted to us, finances or earthly things. In Colossians 3:17, we read, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus." So, what we do for God, our work, time, and money, which is our offering, is meant to please God. For many of us, financial support doesn't really seem like a sacrifice. Of course, for some it may be. I don't say it's for everyone, but most of us have so much more than the rest of the world. We don't even realize the common 10% many Christians are investing in the kingdom. Every month it gets deducted of our bank account and we don't even notice it. That means we give of our abundance. This maybe reminds us of the Bible passage where Jesus observes how the rich gave their abundance into the temple treasury. And the poor widow gave all she had. just this little two coins. But she gave everything she had. The rich, they maybe had maybe a lot of coins, and you heard a lot the dropping of the coins and the sound of the coins going into the treasury. But they gave of their abundance. A little widow, just the two little coins. Jesus was pleased with this kind of offering. So the idea is not that we just give only the 10%, but rather that everything we own belongs to Jesus. We are not living in the Old Testament, but in the New Covenant, where we not live for ourselves, but entirely for our Lord. Our old self has died, and Jesus now lives in us. He owns us. We are His servants. That means everything we own before accepting Jesus as our Lord belongs now to Jesus. We should be aware that all the money and all the possession we manage for Jesus belong to Him, to our King. We have now become stewards or manager, and we manage somebody else's property and possessions, God's possessions. This is an interesting thought, that we are just manager and we just manage God's property. So, but how is that to hear? It might be a little bit difficult that we are only stewards and no longer possess anything. There is nothing that really belongs to us or to me. I don't own a thing in the world. What's that doing in us? What do we think about that? We are now no longer make any decision according to our plans or wishes, but making all the decisions in the will of the Heavenly Father and for the good of His kingdom. In Corinthians 9:7 says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." That's quite a famous, known passage. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, it's so true. We could be caught up with that we feel we have to give, and be pressed to and forced to. But God loves a cheerful giver. This verse plays really directly into our topic. When we are ready to give, we are to do it without compulsion. Not because we have to or feel pressed to do, but we should do it out of a cheerful heart. We can see it as joy that we can invest in God's kingdom. We don't invest in a kingdom belonging to some stranger. As children of the King, we can even say we invest in our own kingdom, our Father's kingdom. We are heirs of the King. So it's also our own kingdom we invest. Another way we can invest in this godly kingdom, what we can do as stay-at-home Christians, is hospitality. It's nice to own a house or a place to stay, but we want to call it, we manage this house now because it belongs to Jesus. We're able to invite people in and bless them with a place of rest or get refreshments and refreshed and encouraged. Some of you may even have hosted someone who was in need for a longer time of period of time. We had once a stranger young man living with us for some weeks. That was a really special and challenging experience. He was part of our devotions, and we hope that God will give us use these seeds to reach his heart. It was not so easy, I have to tell you, but we decided to do it, and it felt good. We did something for God's kingdom. So, but you might invite people from the church, or friends, relatives, neighbors, or returning missionaries, or perhaps people with personal difficulties. Matthew 10:41, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." So when we are hospitable, it does not come back without reward. That's actually quite nice, right? It's not just we invest in nothing. This is a biblical truth we receive the reward of a righteous man when we host a fellow Christian. So there are great rewards when we are hospitable. So why not invite people into our home? Jesus, his home. If it is really his home, an unexpected visitor surprises us on a very busy Saturday where we actually would like to mow the lawn or do any house repair or clean the house, are we able to drop everything and focus on blessing these people, the surprise guests? Won't that be what Jesus would do? We usually do not have a lot of guests. Corona made it quite hard for many months, and the restrictions are increasing again. But just that past week, God has challenged us personally as I was preparing this sermon. On a busy work and a school day, a brother in Christ called and informed us he'll stop by in an hour if we could prepare a rooster for him. And I have to kind of explain that we have chickens and they sometimes breed, and the chicks are not always male. I mean, not always hens, and so I mean females, but there are also roosters in it. And we are kind of out in the country and we like that, but there are still some close by neighbors and they get bothered by the crowing of the roosters, so they have to be gone. So we were very happy to prepare a rooster for him because he wants one to eat and take home. So we hastily prepared everything. We were able to butcher and pluck two roosters and even had time to fellowship with the small family. On the next day, a new missionary candidate of Wycliffe needed a place to stay. And since we have a guest room, how could we not offer it? So we hastily prepared the guest room and it all worked out great at the end. Be hospitable. 1 Peter 4:9 fits very well. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. So this is challenging. Maybe for some men, often it's the women are the more hospitable people, and the men sometimes grumble. But according to 1 Peter 4:9, do it without grumbling. So being hospitable is not just a nice tradition, something we should do. It is much more serious than this. It is a biblical principle. We use the house or the apartment for Jesus. In doing so, we open our home and are able to make God's love visible to others. What a great opportunity. So the third thing we can do, maybe here in Switzerland or in Canada, is encouragement. Encouragement. Everyone needs encouragement. There are so many discouraged people around us, especially in the ongoing corona crisis. It's stressful or frightening for many. So we have a responsibility as Christians. Mother Teresa made a wonderful statement, and I don't agree with everything Mother Teresa did, but this statement is really, really strong. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. I repeat it again. It's really good and challenging. Let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Yeah, this is so challenging but true. When people meet us, they should meet Jesus and feel loved and refreshed. And we should be the light in the world and bring light into the darkness. So that is why we are challenged to live our lives for Jesus here and now. It may mean for us to take the time to listen to others, write letters. Maybe the Holy Spirit gives us an idea how to encourage others. Let us love people with word and deed, and without doing so, share Christ with them. And while doing so, share Christ with them. Let us also pray for our foreigner service staff, the field missionaries, and keep in touch with them. They also need encouragement because there are so many factors that can discourage them. So many questions, difficulties, and uncertainties. Romans 15:24 says, "For I hope to see you on my journey and to be held on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. So even Paul also got encouraged by the Roman Christians. He too needed encouragement through company and fellowship. So also as a church family, we have to care for and encourage one another in love. And then, of course, let us not forget the persecuted brothers and sisters. We can pray for them often, lift them up to our Heavenly Fathers. There are also ways to support them financially or with encouraging letters or packages. So let's decide to be encouragers in the name of Christ. A fourth way, what we can do here as a Christian in the Western world, is prayer. There are, of course, many passages about praying, but I just highlight three. Matthew 21:22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, and you will receive. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. That was Mark 11:24. And Psalm 145:18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. In German it says, in allen Ernstens, so it means in all seriousness, to all who call upon him in all seriousness. So do we believe what we pray? All these passages have the same in it, that we are, do we really believe it? Are we praying with seriousness? Do we believe that we are speaking directly to the Creator? The Creator who created the whole entire universe, and that He does something because we ask Him, us little humans, how great is our faith? So do we believe that our prayer, this is a statement again to kind of think about, do we believe that we set God's mighty arm in motion with our prayers? So as we heard before in the point of encouragement, there are many stumbling blocks and difficulties in our lives. Challenges, anger, pride, selfishness, marriage problems, educational or other family problems, fear of man, fear of evangelizing, fear of losing your job, fear of not being enough, to be not sufficient. Some people fear viruses and some fear the vaccination, or the list can go on. Every person who carries out the mission of God will be challenged in some ways, be it from personal, physical or emotional struggles, from fellow human beings, and if we do our job for Jesus well, the devil will attack us in order to stop or hinder our work. That is why prayer is so important. We Christians need to be aware of these spiritual struggles and the spiritual war that is out there. It takes prayer to build God's kingdom, to raise godly children, to share Christ with others, to support the missionaries on the field. We pray to keep the work moving forward for the well-being of the church and the spiritual growth in each church member. For the lost to have open hearts, faithful prayer warriors who pray continually. So we, all of us, the minister of internal affairs have the opportunity, but also the responsibility to pray to the King of all kings. And He even listens to us and He does what we ask Him for. 1 John 5:15. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petition, or we will receive, that we have asked of Him. Oh, just imagine, when we pray in the name of Jesus and know beforehand that God will give us what we pray, we pray with a lot more authority. We pray with confidence. We really must not take this for granted. The Holy Almighty God, whom angels serve, and who has lived forever listens to our, mine and your prayer. And he listens, he wants to listen to us. The prayer you say alone in your room, behind closed doors, he hears them. Imagine what we could move if we really believe in our prayers. Could it be that the devil makes us feel like our prayer don't matter that much? That God would not answer our prayers and therefore we don't even start praying? You ever had that feeling? That's why our faith is so important. Imagine, it only takes a very small mustard seed of faith. But now we can imagine what a little faith we all have. Therefore, we have to grow in our spirituality and faith, like a seed. So if you read the Bible daily, you will see many ways how to serve the Lord, how we can strengthen each other, how we can strengthen the body of Christ as a whole. So this the last part we can do here as Christians at home is called Lego Lego. And I don't mean the little blocks you can stack on top of each other, the colorful blocks. It's something else, and I will tell you later. But someone might think now, that's all well. That's all nice what you said. It's true, yes, but I can do it all. I have so much work already. Whether we are the missionaries out in the world or stay-at-home Christians, we can feel exhausted and worn out, looking at the lost people, all the work that still should be done. It can just simply overwhelm us. For that, I have an illustration together with my children to show what we can do against being overwhelmed. All this could be quite overwhelming. There's so much to do.
Time of Jesus. Prayer. Loving husband.
Patient father.
Hospitality.
Serve.
Do it all with joy.
Do everything in love.
Oh, this is all too much. Way too heavy. Oh. Oh Jesus, how should I do all this? It's way too much. Oh. What? I should let go and cast it to God? Okay. In 1 Peter 5:7, cast all you care upon him, for he cares for you. It's so strange. We have to cast it, right? Sometimes we just have to, like, we want to keep it, or we want to try to solve it ourselves, but then we have to throw it, right? Cast it on God, cast on Jesus, and he will care for it. Yeah, what a comforting thought. Maria Brean, is an Austrian missionary who started her mission, Vision for Africa, that's the name of the mission, when she was 60 years old. She has a wonderful message about this, and this is really strong because she started mission when she was 60 years old. And for many of us, when we are turning 60 or 65, we think about retiring. But she said, no, don't retire. Refire. That's how she is. So Lego Lego, but it stands for let go, let God. Let go and let God. So she says that we need to let go of our idea of God and life and consciously let God into our lives. So we are to rely and trust on Him for everything. But we also need to know when we can say no. This could practically mean that we do not participate in every service just because we are asked, but instead ask the Lord specifically, is this a task you want me to do? So we all have only 24 hours a day. How does God want me to invest this time? In which people does He want me to invest? In which ministries shall I be serving? Which priorities does He want me to set? If we always look to Him, that we live in His will and also out of His power, then it will not be overwhelming. Our lives for Jesus will be a busy life, yes, but we won't be overwhelmed, or it won't lead to a burnout, because He promised that He will not burden us with too much. So, because we usually would not skip our earthly meals, right? Except maybe you would like to lose weight, then you eat just half. So under no circumstances should we skip the spiritual meals with our Lord. As Christians, we should not be on a spiritual diet. Spiritually starving and thirsty Christians are weak and quickly distracted and defeated by the enemy. 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So he's not kind, he's not fair. When you're weak, you will get distracted, like devoured, and you can't be used by God anymore. So we must be strengthened by the Spirit and walk continuously in the Spirit, in a close and loving communion with the Father. As Jesus lived as an example, He had little sleep, if we add it up, but He preferred to spend time with His Father, even when it was in the night or in the early morning. He really wanted to spend time with God, His Father. If Jesus Himself needed this, to spend so much time with God, how much more do we need it to spend time with God? Martin Luther, he made a good statement about this, how to spend time with God. I have so much to do that I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. So he was very busy, can you imagine, after the Reformation, but he put a lot of emphasis on prayer. But isn't it like this? When we are busy, we tend to do the opposite. When there is a lot to do, we tend to skip devotions or Bible time or praying altogether. It just happens sometimes, which we think we have no time. But try it and see what happens. When you are stressed, and you're stressed consciously, just slow down. Sit down. Or even better, get down on your knees. Really mean it. A prayer of faith, and despite the little time you have, take time to ask the Father for direction, advice, help in dealing with the present situation. You have the right to come to God because you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God, a royal child. You are sanctified and cleansed from all guilt and all faults, and we have access to all we need to live according to our Father's will. So whatever you did, whatever you think about yourself, when you believe in Jesus Christ, repented, turned around your life and believed that He died for you and forgave you, you're royal. This is amazing. Always again. So let us acknowledge that we are dependent on Jesus and need His daily guidance in our lives. Evaluate your lives. ask you to, and see where you are able to live a life fully for God and what things have to be changed. Remember the challenging quote from Mother Teresa: let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. To change ourselves, we need the power of God. To love others selflessly, we need the love of Jesus Christ. To support others, we need the guidance by the Holy Spirit. Let me pray. Jesus Christ, thank you that we Christians that stay here at home and are not all out about in the world and do missions work, that we have a mission here at home, that we can take that seriously. We should be light and salt in the world, and we really want to take that seriously. And if there are things in our lives we have to change, show us what we need to change to live a life fully for you. Touch our hearts. Change us in ways that we can see with your eyes. So I bless everybody in this room in the name of Jesus Christ, that when you go out back into the world on Monday, when you meet people, Jesus, help us that we can love the people that they feel happier after they met us, that we can bring light into the darkness. So I bless everybody in the name of Jesus Christ for protection, that we can have a close relationship to Jesus Christ. Thank you, God. Amen.